administration wants to leave itself as much space as possible to keep the door open for possible dialogue with North Korea.
New U.S.-Korea cooperation. It's Monday, May 24th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We're online. Find us at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, COVID help for Nepal, calls to open Australia, life after Vietnam. It's all on today's VOA Asia. COVID-19, climate change, and cooperation in high-tech industries were the focus of a summit between U.S. President Joe Biden and South Korean President Moon Jae-in at the White House late last week. While the leaders also discussed North Korea, prospects for a breakthrough in denuclearization appear dim. White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Swara has a report.
South Korea has vaccinated only 3% of its 52 million residents, but aims to reach herd immunity by November. The United States pledged to help Seoul in the effort through a vaccine partnership announced by President Joe Biden during a summit with South Korean Moon Jae-in at the White House Friday.
So we can scale up global vaccine supplies. We'll strengthen our ability to fight the pandemic and respond to future biological threats.
The leaders also focus on climate change, regional security, and the North Korean nuclear weapons program.
Our two nations also share a willingness to engage diplomatically with the DPRK, to take pragmatic steps that will reduce tensions as we move toward our ultimate goal of denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula.
Moon dismissed the notion that there is a different sense of urgency, stressing the two countries are aligned on the timeline for denuclearization.
The principle of the negotiation toward North Korea has already been announced by the U.S. government, very calibrate, practical, gradual, step-by-step manner, and very flexible.
But analysts say prospects to halt Kim Jong-un's nuclear ambitions are dim.
There's no momentum when it comes to North Korea. There is no breakthrough that can be expected.
Moon is eager to cement a legacy as peacemaker before he leaves office next year. But Pyongyang's nuclear weapons and fuel stockpile has advanced despite personal diplomacy between Trump and the North Korean leader. The Biden administration said it will pursue a calibrated, practical approach with North Korea, but has not provided much detail.
The administration wants to leave itself as much space as possible, both to keep the door open for possible dialogue with North Korea, but also not to be embarrassed in the event that North Korea reverts to provocations.
Biden thanked South Korean companies for investing more than $25 billion in the U.S. and thanked Seoul for its support of his effort to build supply chain resilience. Moon is only the second world leader Biden has hosted since taking office after Japanese Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga visit in April, a sign of Washington's focus on Asian allies as it faces a rising China.
The atmospherics is very good between the two countries, so they really want to showcase the strength of the alliance relationship.
Also Friday, Biden awarded the Medal of Honor to retired U.S. Army Colonel Ralph Puckett Jr. for conspicuous gallantry during the Korean War. This is the first time a foreign leader participated in such an event. Patsy Whitaker-Swara, VOA News.
Meanwhile, in Myanmar, the head of the military government said that ousted leader Aung San Suu Kyi is in good health and would appear in court in the coming days. The junta leader says Suu Kyi is at her home and healthy and will face trial in court in a few days. The junta leader says Suu Kyi is at her home and healthy. The comments came from a May 20th virtual interview with Hong Kong-based broadcaster Phoenix Television, parts of which were released on Saturday. It was the junta leader's first interview since overthrowing Suu Kyi on February 1st. Suu Kyi is facing multiple criminal charges, including the possession of unlicensed walkie-talkies, violating COVID-19 restrictions, breaching telecommunication laws, and incitement to cause public unrest. She has also been accused by the junta of accepting $600,000 in illegal payments. The coup triggered a crisis in the Southeast Asian country that led to deadly anti-junta demonstrations and clashes between several armed ethnic groups and the ruling junta. There's much more on our website. Visit us at VOA Asia and our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. more than 125 Myanmar teachers suspended for opposing coup. Myanmar junta says deposed leader to appear in court. China's father of hybrid rice dies. His research helped to feed the world. IOC vice president gets backlash, saying Olympics are on no matter virus. In fast-aging China, elder care costs loom large. Expanded coverage of all of these stories and much more can be found on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also visit us at our website. That's voanews.com. Let's continue with VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. The United Nations is appealing for nearly $84 million for assistance to 750,000 people in Nepal who are suffering a devastating COVID-19 surge. Lisa Schlein has more for VOA from Geneva.
Nepal is facing an outbreak of COVID-19 cases and deaths that is as destructive as the surge engulfing giant neighbor India. In many ways, it may be even worse. The United Nations says Nepal has roughly the same number of daily cases per capita as India, but with a much weaker health system incapable of dealing with the crisis. The World Health Organization says Nepal has nearly 500,000 COVID-19 cases, including more than 6,000 deaths. The UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs says the number of cases is escalating rapidly. It says cases have risen from 150 a day in early April to more than 8,000 cases a day since May 5th. OCHA's spokesman, Jens Laerke, says all sectors of Nepalese society are reaching a breaking point.
Millions of people are struggling with the direct health impact of the pandemic, but also hunger, malnutrition, devastating economic losses, and other health needs that are being overlooked. The current outbreak is hitting the poorest and most marginalized people in Nepal the hardest.
The OCHA says the dramatic spike in cases has spurred an unprecedented need for medical supplies, including oxygen, medicine, ventilators, diagnostic kits, and vaccine. It warns the lives of many people who become sickened by the coronavirus will be lost because Nepal lacks the supplies it needs to save them. Laerke says a positive response to the UN's $83.7 million response plan is crucial to avoiding that.
Our plan calls for swift action and international solidarity that is desperately needed to save lives and prevent unnecessary suffering today and in difficult weeks to come. We have no time to lose.
The UN response plan aims to address both the health and humanitarian consequences of COVID-19, helping hundreds of thousands of vulnerable Nepalese with health, food, education, nutrition, shelter, protection, water, and sanitation assistance. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Still ahead on VOA Asia, trying to get back to Australia. Happening now in Asia, news outlet Myanmar Now cites a commissioner saying Myanmar's junta-appointed election commission will dissolve Aung San Suu Kyi's National League for Democracy party because of what it said was fraud in a November election. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. It's nice, as always, to have you with us on VOA Asia. Thanks for joining us. More than 70,000 people have signed a petition urging the Australian government to ease COVID-19 entry restrictions on foreign-born parents of Australian citizens who are allowed into the country only on compassionate grounds. Campaigners argue the rules are having a profound impact on family relations and mental health. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Foreign-born parents of Australian citizens aren't considered to be immediate family under the law. They need an exemption on compassionate grounds to be allowed into the country under strict COVID-19 border measures. Campaigners argue that few cases are approved and that the regulations should be changed because families have been separated and children haven't met grandparents. Celia Hammond, a member of the House of Representatives, the lower house of Australia's federal parliament from the governing Liberal Party, told the House that parents were a key part of an emotional support system for many immigrants and their families. Katerina Dmitrieva has tried unsuccessfully to bring her mother back to Australia from Ukraine.
My mom left on the 2nd of March 2020 for what was supposed to be like a 3 to 4 week trip to Ukraine. Nothing was indicative at this time that the borders will be closed forever. So she left and she never returned. And I applied for exemption 5 times and the answer was just not exempt.
The petition has been presented to the Parliament in Canberra and is awaiting a response from the government. Australia's Home Affairs Minister Karen Andrews has up to 90 days to respond. Australia banned most foreign nationals more than a year ago to curb the spread of the coronavirus. Citizens returning from overseas face 14 days in mandatory hotel quarantine, but capacity is limited. The government says it probably won't be safe to reopen international borders until the middle of 2022. Prime Minister Scott Morrison.
It's not one day the borders are open, one day the borders are closed. That's not how it works. There's a sliding sort of scale here, and we're working on the next steps. Now, it's not safe to take those next steps.
Australia has recorded 30,000 coronavirus infections since the pandemic began, and 910 people have died, according to the health department. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Vietnamese-American Daniel Nguyen doesn't remember much about her escape from Vietnam. She was just 3 years old when she fled Saigon on one of the last American planes to take off before North Vietnamese troops took over the city. Nguyen has since dedicated more than 3 decades of her life to the U.S. Army, giving back, she says, to the country that saved her. VOA Pentagon correspondent Carla Babb has her story.
At 5'2", Colonel Danielle Nguyen might not look like it, but she is a force of nature. She's beaten back wildfires, helped capture Saddam Hussein in Iraq, and jumped out of planes.
I always wanted to jump out of perfectly good aircraft, so I always wanted to be a paratrooper.
Nguyen has paved the way for Asian Americans as the highest active duty woman of Vietnamese descent in the U.S. Army.
We are proud of what she does.
She currently serves as the executive officer for the Army's Inspector General, Lieutenant General Leslie Smith.
She's the enforcer.
I make things happen behind
make
the scenes.
Make things happen, right. Really, not just for the 200 people that are here, but those additional 1,400 inspectors generals that support commanders out in the field.
Nguyen's grandmother, the first woman on the left, worked at the U.S. Embassy in Saigon. So in 1975, when the Vietnam War was ending, Nguyen fled to the Saigon airport with her mother and younger sister as the North Vietnamese bombed the city.
The ceiling was crumbling and it was falling down because the airport was under attack.
U.S. personnel rushed her family onto a plane waiting to take off.
It was too heavy and they had to get more people on, so they actually took equipment and threw it off the plane. The Army had rescued us at the end of the war, and so I knew that I wanted to give something back.
So when Nguyen turned 17, she wanted to enlist.
I went to my mother and she said, no way. I was 17. I had to get her approval and her signature because I was underage. She's like, no way. She said, I did not take you from a war for you to go back into a war.
Eventually, she convinced her mother to let her join, and she has not looked back, paving the way for other military women. And after decades of demolitions, Nguyen's combat engineering prowess has earned a nod from national engineering organization Discover-E.
I'm getting recognized as an engineer, the one branch that I wanted because I thought it was the toughest branch at the time that you could be in for a female. It's pretty nice.
Now, this trailblazer is adding Asian American Engineer of the Year to her lifetime of accomplishments. Carla Babb, VOA News, the Pentagon.
That's all the time we have for today's VOA Asia program. No worries, we'll be back at the same time again tomorrow. And in the meantime, you can find us online. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at VOA Asia. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our team, Service Chief Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Hybels. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a terrific day ahead. Be safe. Be well.